Hello and welcome to Zack Attack. We're never going to be better than this. This is episode 26.
Damn.
I can't even say it without laughing. Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure 2 fan fiction that we found on fanfiction.net. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe too.
I guess we could say this is from the year 2012 because this was written by Zephron Lover 19 Reach, R-A-C-H-E. It's available on fanfiction.net. The link is on cageclub.me if you want to go read this. It's like 50,000 words. It's about
was that an exaggeration or was that actually 50,000
no,
words?
No, it's accurate. Maybe it's 30,000 words.
Okay.
It's like 50 pages single-spaced in Word.
No, there's a lot of dialogue, though. There's a lot of dialogue.
Yes, there's a lot of dialogue. yeah. You can read it quickly, but it'll take you longer in general than you think that you would spend reading fan fiction about Sharpay Evans.
True. That's very true. It definitely took me a lot longer than I expected.
I had to break this down into like 3-chapter chunks because there's no way that I could sit down and read this entire thing, especially because like we're going to get into it and we have all of our favorite passages highlighted and we're going to be reading them. It's so slow for like in terms of what we were hoping for, it's so slow for so long. I was like, are we ever going to get there?
Are we ever going to be better than this?
Yeah.
It's definitely fucking slow and there's a lot of repeated shit. Can I just tell you what I took a note of
yes.
What my breakdown is? This is about 30% Zeph's smile, 30% bad foreshadowing, 30% Sharpay's self-shaming, and 10% hate of Gabriella Montez. That's what
basically,
I think. That's how I think this breaks down.
And not just Zeph's smile, but also, as we are going to get into, his blue eyes, which is very important. She mentions that a lot.
Definitely talks about his blue eyes, for sure, yeah.
And his ripped abs, she talks about a bunch.
That's it, only at the end, but yeah.
Only at the end, but yes.
Said Joey with 5%. A serious tone.
Said Joe with emotion in his voice. We're not going to make fun of this because this is someone who spent a lot of time writing this. She's obviously very passionate about it. Based on her profile, I think she was like 22 when she wrote this.
Dude, she had to be like 14 when she wrote this.
Wait, did I do my math right? Hold on. I want
to
make...
you
I'm
have to be
everything.
Way off. Because, like, you said, what, she was born in 1990?
No, that might be wrong, though. Hold on.
Okay.
Zephron Lover 19. So her profile was updated in 2014. Her age on there is 24. So I don't know if it was 24 now or 24 then. But
I
if
think
it was
it probably auto-calculated.
Then, you think?
Yeah, because, dude... Because she had an orgasm from a boob touch. There's no fucking way.
No, well, she didn't... we're going to get into that. She didn't have an orgasm from a boob touch. She thought that's what it was.
Okay.
Oh, boy. This is going to be a very difficult episode to talk about, to listen to edit.
Okay.
All sorts of fun stuff. It's written by a British writer, Zephron Lover,
obviously.
19, Rach. It's weird to see... There's a lot of... So... It's 16 chapters, I think, or maybe 15 chapters? Or 16,
15.
15. All the odd chapters are from Sharpay's perspective, and all the even chapters are from Troy's perspective.
Yeah.
It's interesting to hear their internal dialogue when all of the words are written with an OU, like favorite and color and stuff like that, and it's just like, oh, now they're just British.
It kinder feels British a lot of the time.
Well, there's also
kinder. Feels American sometimes.
There's a lot of straight-up typos, words
that's
that
fine.
Aren't words.
I can get over those. Yeah, like, let this girl, she can write whatever she wants. I don't want to make fun of her typos. I could get through what she was trying to say. There was a lot of interesting, like, I couldn't read long passages at a time because I would laugh comedically. Not even because of the typos, just like, she would just interject, like, very non-sexual
yes.
things into the middle of a sexual scene. So, I mean, she just took some interesting writing choices, man.
What's also really strange is that, for the most part, jumping ahead to the end, the sex scene is quadruple-spaced. There's nothing
yes!
explicit about it.
God damn, I know!
Which is so frustrating.
Yeah, it's very... There's a lot of thumb-rubbing for, like, two
oh,
or
God,
three
it's
chapters.
All about the thumbs, yes.
So much thumb caressing for 3 chapters, and then she just quadruple spaces the fuck out of the penetration.
But it's also, it's not thumb rubbing in, like, 1800s writing where they had to, like, there's this book, Ethan Frome, by Edith Wharton. There's this whole, like, it's, you know, written, I think, in the 1800s or set in the 1800s, whatever it is. It's a very old book. There's this whole extended metaphor about pickles and donuts, and, like, they're on a date and they're eating pickles and donuts, and, like, that's, like, their that's her flowery metaphor for them having sex or whatever.
Yeah.
This is, like, straight up, like, no, they're just, it's not, like, it's not trying to be coy about things. It's, like, no, he's just, like, rubbing her with his thumb.
Always. He's always rubbing her with his thumb. So do you want to get through the story?
So, yeah, so the writing, and she even mentions at one point, she thinks about him like it's PG-13, but she wants to think about him like it's rated R.
And this whole thing is restricted. Written,
but what's weird about it is that, for the most part, the first 10 or 11 chapters, it's like G or PG. Like, it's all just very, like, what, like, it just, it,
yeah,
with an exception, which I'm going to get
14,
to.
Because, like, the first 10 chapters are just, like, them meeting for the first time and, like, going on
skating,
a date, like, going on, like, very, very sweet, soft dates, you know? It takes a turn. What chapter is it? It's the really loud chapter where everything's really loud.
Oh, boy. Well, I have the names of the chapters. Let me see.
Is it 11? I think it's, I wrote, this is a really loud chapter.
11,
no,
well,
10.
So 10 is best feeling ever, chapter 10.
Yeah. Okay, do you want to go through the beginning of the story? Can we just talk through the story?
This is, what I want to get to is that it progressively becomes a little bit more adult. They kiss, they make out, he feels her up, they quadruple space off screen. That's it. But throughout, from the beginning, she uses language. Like, I don't think she ever says fuck, but she says bitch a lot.
Yeah.
She uses the word pussy, as in, like, don't be a pussy about it. I'm like,
yes.
Like, it doesn't line up at all with what's going on or the rest of her writing.
No. It's weird.
So weird.
She definitely adds some adult language in there. She's trying to get, like, you know, some more mature readers, I guess.
Oh,
this
boy.
Had to be,
okay.
I'm thinking that she started this when she was 14. No, she started this when she was 13 and
well,
finished
no, no,
it
no,
when
no,
she was
16. That's not possible, though. Well, okay, so here's, I guess here's the thing. So this was written in 2012. Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure 1 came out in 2011. High School Musical came out in 2006. So if she was born in 90, she couldn't have started writing this before she was 16, because that's when the first movie came out.
Damn.
But also, like, the whole plot is about, it takes place after the first Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure, because it's about how they go off to college.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Troy chose California.
It's
because
before
he wanted to be
three,
close to
though,
Gabby.
Right? This is in between.
No, this is after Sharpay, because she's already on, she's on Broadway and she's a star.
Oh, that's right, that's right, that's right. So, okay.
So this happens at the end. I think that she wrote this in 2012. Like, I mean, she didn't spend time proofreading it, I can tell you that much. not in terms of, like, typos, just in terms of, like, these are all of my thoughts and I'm just going to write them out there and we're just going to go with it.
Yeah.
So I don't think she wrote it ahead of time. I think she just, it was, you know, maybe giving her the benefit of the doubt, the movie came out in 2011, she sees that and then she spends a year crafting this narrative.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think she was writing it, like, you know, a couple pages a week.
One chapter a month.
Yeah, yeah, about that. Yeah.
Well, the chapters are about, what would you say, roughly like 3 or 4 pages in Word?
They're usually 2 single-spaced. Some of them are 3 or 4. Near the end, they get a little bit longer, but they have a lot more dialogue, so.
But we pick up after the events of the first movie. Sharpay
yes.
is on Broadway. She has an assistant.
She's a superstar.
She's dating Peyton, who is the guy who went to NYU and filmed her and sort of saved the show and saved the movie.
Yeah.
She has a bodyguard, and basically life is fabulous.
It is, yeah. She's doing great. Everybody loves her. Crowd cheers the loudest for her always, and she just is awesome. So we start out, and I think, what is it, like, very, very early, he breaks up with her?
So, yeah, so here's the thing. He doesn't show up to her performance.
Yes.
Which doesn't seem crazy, because she's on stage every night, and he's supposed to come to every one?
I don't know.
They've been dating for a year, so I think this takes place about a year after the first movie.
Yeah.
We later find out, at the very end, that basically she never even kissed him.
They were dating for a year, but they were super busy.
Bananas.
Yeah.
But there is a quote in the first chapter that I really liked, just
Good.
Because of the way that she uses, she says, my PA is young, my production assistant, my PA is young. I like them young because they can learn the trade, and I like it when they haven't worked for anybody before, because then I can teach them everything that I would love them to. That's completely 100% innocuous. There's nothing sexual about that at all. But I just read this book called Tampa by this woman, Alyssa Nutting. Tampa is, the only reason I heard of it was because Harmony Korine, who directed Spring Breakers, at one point said he was going to adapt this.
Okay, cool.
And so Tampa is about a 24, 25, 26-year-old, like, in the book, drop-dead, like, 12 out of 10 gorgeous woman who teaches middle school because she is in love with 14-year-olds. And so the whole book is her trying to find the perfect 14-year-old so that she can seduce them and sort of teach them everything. Yeah. So in terms of my mindset there, this quote from Sharpay about, you know, I like them young so I can teach them, blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, like that's just straight up
terrible. She's trying to bang the PA too.
But it's not.
It's I really wish this would have gotten to some threesome action with the PA and stuff. Actually, the PA just falls off the planet. Like, she's there for, like, the first chapter and then gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's just, like, instantly gone. Okay, so,
well,
like...
Well, because... The other thing to keep in mind is that everybody's sort of at the beginning and then just gone. The last 14 chapters are basically Sharpay and Zeph...
Having one conversation.
Having one conversation for 14 chapters, and then her bodyguard for 2 minutes, and then the very gay... Although she calls him Camp, I think? Director,
yeah, he's very camp.
Which is not the right use. I mean, it's close. Like, I get what she means, but it's also not the right use of that word. Aside from them, there's literally no one else in this entire story.
No, it's just Sharpay and Zeph. They're in New York, they run into no one, and you could just, like, you know, throw clean snow at each other on the street in Manhattan and stuff.
Oh, we're gonna get to that snow scene, okay, I can tell you that much, for sure. But yeah, so Peyton doesn't show up, and she's like, is he, like, what's wrong? Like, I don't understand what's going on. Like, are we about to break up? Like, I don't know. And you're like, whoa, Sharpay is, like, her life is fabulous, but is it falling apart? Dun, 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 and then smash cut to Troy, who is on a bus.
Wait, no. He's like, yeah, oh, yeah, he doesn't, they don't break up yet. It just smash cuts to Troy, and I think chapter 2 was my favorite. This chick wrote off Gabriella from, like, the jump, okay? Like, the second or third line from chapter 2 is just like, I'm not actually going to see her, you see. Gabby and I, we're not together anymore. We thought we could have a long-distance relationship, but we were wrong. We can't. It's not possible. Like,
there's so many crazy things that you have to, like, jumps in logic that you have to take for this chapter 2 to happen. That number 1, they're basically like, yeah, long distance didn't work, so we're just done.
Cool.
Number 2...
That one you can kind of believe, right? Like, I mean,
sure.
They were far away. Like, it just didn't work. Okay.
Number 2, the fact that he grew up in Albuquerque and then moved to LA, right, to go to school.
Yeah.
But had to drive to New York because there's no other stage musicals between LA and New York that, like, no one is doing plays or
and he's
musicals
not driving
anywhere
he's too
else
poor to drive. He has to ride Megabus across the country for like 3 days to get to New York. This girl has no concept of geography of the United States. It's really funny because she was like, I should have stayed at home and been closer to Sharpay at one point. And I'm like, yo, Albuquerque is not close to New York at all. Like, it's not much closer than LA is.
No. But you also have to assume Troy turned down a scholarship to Juilliard, which didn't happen in the movie, and that he knows that Sharpay and Ryan are there. And, like, you know, based on that 1 minute teaser trailer that we saw on YouTube, we can't play the trailer game later because there's no actual footage in that trailer, but that trailer is how we heard about this, so that trailer is wonderful. You know from the trailer that they're gonna get together, like this whole, the narrative of this is that they're gonna date and, you know, maybe have sex or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, on this bus, he's just, like, he's talking about how, you know, like, you know, people thought she was a bitch, people thought she was the ice queen, but, you know, like, I was always nice to her, I always liked her, I want to see her. And, like, he knows that Sharpay and Ryan are both in New York. Ryan mentioned maybe one other time this entire thing, like, doesn't show up. She has no interest in Ryan cucking this at all. Like, he's just an afterthought.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Ryan, he does, he gets mentioned, and then she's just like, she mentions Ryan once at the beginning, like, once near the end, and that's it. Like, just in name only. Like, doesn't even hear from him, nothing.
And also, like, Gabby is mentioned, but, like, nobody else from the entire world of High School Musical is mentioned. It's just, like, it's the two that we care about, and then Gabby a little bit, and then Ryan twice, and that's it. And, like, that's the whole narrative of High School Musical.
She definitely sets it up pretty good. The thing is this feels long enough. Nothing happens, but it's also like I don't know how the fuck this is so long. But then I remember they have the same. You even start to get it in the beginning where it's like, "What's up, mom?" I say to her with a cool tone of my voice. Well, I don't think it's cool. I don't think
no,
she...
no. Well, I think that it's cool. I don't think that she does.
And then show up. Like, her shitty foreshadowing is so awesome. It'll be like, did Sharpay notice that I sounded like my voice cracked? And it'll be like, your voice cracked, Sharpay. You know.
Well, the other way that it's so long is because, like, one thing will happen. Like, when Troy, in a couple chapters, shows up to her dressing room, there's an entire chapter from her perspective of it, and then his perspective. But it's not, like, a different perspective. It's just that, like, I said this instead of he said this. And, like, I said this instead of she said this.
Yeah, that's
it's just
right.
Like, it's like, yeah, we know. But, like, it's five pages what could have happened in two, or really just, like, three quarters of a page. Like, it's very, like, I do genuinely admire her split perspective. Like, I like
I do.
The fact
I like
you go
it a
back
lot. I agree.
Like, that's a genuine compliment that, like, it works. And, like, I'm like, okay, we finished a Sharpay chapter. Now we're going to see what Troy thinks about it. And it's just like, okay, cool.
But she could have continued it and not, like, 100%. Gone back. She goes back, like, 60% into the previous chapter
or,
and then repeats, like, the first half of it and then continues
or jumps
on.
Jumps, like, a week ahead.
Yeah.
Like, out of nowhere. Like, oh, yeah, you know, when we went on that first date the other night, like, I've been texting her ever since. It's like, what? Like, how? Like, there's nothing happening. Why are you not showing us that?
Yeah, man.
The other important thing from chapter two is that he's on the bus with a guy who wrecked the bathroom with his big poop. And
poop jokes immediately. I was really stoked.
Sitting ahead of Troy on the bus when he's talking to him, he's talking to his mom on the phone. He's like whispering about how this guy broke the toilet. And she's like, don't say that. Like, don't be mean. And he says in his voiceover, I realize that I'm not exactly skinny and I do have muscles, but I would not survive in a room with him. One punch to the face and I would be out cold. Troy, I see that college is changed you because you were never this rude when you were home, she says to me. Oh crap, I'm in trouble. Like, it's wonderful.
Yeah, no, the writing is good. I would definitely laugh. I was glad about the early poop joke. I thought we were getting into something good here. You know, like, she's referring to bowel movements and stuff. Like, that's a good foot to start out on. Chapter two, like,
chapter is a good one. Chapter three, we're back in Sharpay's perspective. Peyton breaks up with her, and then Troy shows up at the end. Like, that's all you need to know. Like, there's a really awkward... Do you have anything highlighted from chapter three? It's like, Peyton just shows up to the dressing room, like, I don't think this is working out.
Oh, yes, I do. She makes a drug reference in chapter three. She goes, I powder my nose with a big powder pad. I have to make sure that doesn't make me look like I've done something that I shouldn't have, if you know what I mean. And I'm just like,
I think we went
from a poop joke to a Coke reference. I'm like, this could get really interesting here.
We went from an ECA stack in the last episode, from Summerland, to Sharpay making sure that that nobody thinks that she's doing cocaine in her dressing room.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, and she starts crying, and that's when Troy shows up. And in chapter four, I have written down,
chapter three is
the
breakup.
I'm staring at the tears of an ice queen. It's like, oh, like, he calls her an ice, like, not to her face, but they mention, like, she calls herself an ice queen a lot.
They both call her an ice queen. This is a thing that the perspectives are really cool, that they're different perspectives, but they're also the same perspective.
Yes. And this is the first time I wrote down a note, what a weird waste of a chapter. We knew he was there. Get on with it. Like, we know you're in the dressing room. Like, this is how it works. So chapter three, he shows up at the end. And then chapter four, we see how he gets to the dressing room. Like, that's it. Like, it's, oh, I walked there and then I saw the guard and the guard let me in and then I saw Sharpay and she was crying. And then the chapter ends. It's like, oh, well, like you said, just pick up when they're staring face to face and, like, Troy, you know, thinking about whatever.
Chapter four is when she starts romanticizing, toning down Sharpay. She reminds you that she's very pink in Sharpay a lot, but then she'll be like, maybe I'll wear a white dress today.
Oh, well, the white dress comes back in a big way later. Yeah. We will get to that.
That was great foreshadowing. I didn't even expect the white dress to come back. Seriously, I didn't. And it just came back at the end when she's, like, pulling it down, so.
Yeah, and Troy is like, you know, there's a couch in her room. It's pink, but, like, what other color would it be? Of course it's pink. It's Sharpay. And she's like, yeah, like, okay.
This is a good one for chapter four. I have a deep voice, but compared to his, I sound like my nuts are being grabbed or I'm on helium.
I missed that one, too. I'm so glad you highlighted these, because there's some, like, I tried to read every word, because, like, normally when I'm reading something that, like, I'm not, like, 100% gripped in, which I read a lot. I read every chapter here. Like, I didn't skip things.
Yeah, yeah,
but I go to the dialogue, and the dialogue usually drives you forward. But here, the dialogue says absolutely nothing, and it's all about the non-dialogue.
It's the nuance around the dialogue.
And all these paragraphs are, like, 15 or 20 lines long. Like, they're just not broken out. And I'm like, I get lost in the middle of them. There's great stuff in here, I'm sure, like that line you just read, but I just can't, my brain can't get to it.
Oh, no. See, honestly, like, when I was reading it, I was missing a lot of the dialogue because I knew they were just, like, repeating each other, and I was just reading the between the lines. And, like, I was just getting the, like, the tonage, everybody's tone when they were saying stuff, because she loves to point out everybody's tone. Yeah, and I was looking for nuggets like that, like, just good one-liners everywhere I could find them.
Chapter 5, we have Sharpay describing Troy, his hair is different now. He's cut it, and I like it. I really do. It's short, and I can actually see his blue eyes more. And I was like, yes, blue eyes. And
blue eyes,
first
yep.
thing she sees.
I have it highlighted,
we've been talking
too.
About since Charlie St. Cloud, his blue eyes. Like, we have been on the blue eye train for a while.
Yeah. I'm balls deep in blue eyes.
College has changed him, and he's really changed for the better. The much better.
Wait. And then he's like, so she's talking to him now? And he's like, you know, like, she's like, why'd you come here? He's like, because, you know, I haven't seen any Broadway shows. I haven't had the chance to go to a Broadway show since I started studying. He's studying drama. Like,
yeah.
He hasn't been to any fucking theater since he started.
Well, remember, there's no theater in LA. It's only in New York.
Apparently. Like, what the fuck, man?
But also in this chapter, he's already caressing her cheek with his hand. Like, he does not know how to
Thumb?
Get to drama, but he's also, yeah. He's also, like, making moves.
Yeah.
But he's also, we find out later, he's not very confident. Like, we think, because this is from her perspective. So here, she's like, whoa, look at him, like, caressing my face. But, like, later, we find out, like, basically, he's only been with Gab, and he doesn't know if the things that he did to her were good. So here's the thing. In this world, he and Gab have boned down. Sharpay is a virgin, we will get to.
Yes.
But Troy has never been with anybody other than Gabriella. So he doesn't know if the things that he was doing to her to make her feel good only worked on her, or if they're, like, for every girl.
Yeah.
Which, we need to talk about how, before we started recording, you asked if you thought that she was a virgin. And I said, well, she's writing fanfiction on the internet, of course she's a virgin. In this world, it's like the author and both these characters have never had sex, have also never watched porn, have no idea of, like, human anatomy. It's just like,
yeah,
it's the weirdest thing. And it's not, like, naive, like, exploring bodies for the first time. It's like, I don't know what I'm doing, but
yeah.
I'm like a stranger in a strange land.
Yeah, it's a lot of thumb rubbing. There's a lot of descriptive thumb rubbing. And I don't know if she was toning it down or trying to make it, like, more romanticized or what, but yeah, it's weird, man.
Oh, this, I say, pointing to my cheeks, I turn around and look at him. This is from the crying that I did on stage. You know, the acting. If you can't pretend to cry on the stage, then you're not a good actress, then are you? He walks over to me and kneels down in front of me at my vanity table. He looks up at me with his big ocean blue eyes. Oh,
ocean
how
blue.
I love those eyes. I used to love looking to them when I was talking to him. When I actually spoke to him, and that is, he's so goddamn handsome. And it's like, why are you saying goddamn handsome? Like, where does that come from?
I don't know. I liked it afterwards. She's like, he was unlike the rest of the Wildcats. Like, she throws in some good High School Musical references, but, like, I can't take them seriously because they're so, like, just smash cut into the middle of something else.
Yes.
So it's really hard to, like,
I need you to remember that these are not two random people. These are Wildcats.
She brings it back up the world. She definitely includes some nuance, and she's seen all the movies for sure. She just doesn't know when to interject these things at all.
He places his hand on top of my hand and softly strokes his thumb over my knuckles. Oh god, that sure feels nice. His skin is so soft. Looks like somebody takes good care of himself.
Yeah, she definitely metrosexualizes Zeph a lot.
Oh god, yeah.
In this, she's like, she feminized him. Oh, and something else I noticed, I don't know if this was a literary technique or not, but if it was, it was genius. I'm just gonna give her the benefit of the doubt.
Before you say that, we did reach out to her on Twitter and asked her to be on this podcast, and just like all the actresses from Summerland, she just ignored us.
Yeah.
We want to have her on here because we want to heap praise her way and just, you know, give us the fact that she's giving us something to talk about for an hour or whatever this turns into be. Like, I'm grateful to her. I wanted her to be on here. She just ignored us. So
I want to hear her perspective. Like, I have questions, like, not like making fun of you questions. I have real serious questions that I want answered. Back to the literary technique. She calls Gabriella Montez so much. And
yeah.
If she was masculinizing her by the use of her last name, that would be awesome. Because she totally makes...
Feminizes Zeph?
Well, I mean, that's what made me think of it. No. She actually, like, the name Montez, like,
right.
Without being Gabriella, sounds kind of like... It sounds very
like
masculine.
Like a bro basketball player, yeah.
So, for me, like, when I was reading it, I was like, ugh, Montez. You know, like, and, like, it incited an emotion of disgust... Like, for the name, like, imagining Gabriella being named just Montez was, like, so weird. So, like, it made me not put a lot of weight into, like, wanting her and Zeph to be together. So, it was a really good technique. If this is what she did, it's awesome. Like, Sharpay, like...
I like that a lot.
Yeah, like, if she was doing it to make Sharpay, like, yeah, if it was, like, a writing technique to make you think that, like, oh, like, Gabriella's gone, like, because they get rid of her, right? But, like, if she was trying to make you be disgusted with Gabriella, she did a really good job.
Well, because Gabriella as a name is, like, this beautiful, exotic name, and Gabby is, like, this cute nickname, and, like, that they both describe her. Montez is just like, ooh, like, no, you're right, like, ooh.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm thinking. So, shout out to the author.
He leans towards me and wraps his arms around me gently. Troy Bolton is holding me in his big, strong arms. I bury my head into his chest and cry hard into his chest. I can't stop myself. I'm crying like a baby, and usually, I would never cry so much in the arms of somebody who wasn't my family, but with Troy, right now in this moment, it feels great, and I feel safe in his arms. I think that I trust him.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of trust.
So basically, the last line in every chapter is also the chapter name.
Yeah, she's just working her way to get to the chapter title.
It's like every chapter is an intro paragraph to a 5-paragraph essay from middle school, and, like, she's trying to get to that thesis statement so bad, and, like, she finally gets it, she's like, nailed it. Like, there we go.
Just period. Send it in. We're good.
Chapter 6, we go from 5 to 6, mid-cry, I think, because I have a note written down.
Yeah, it's mid-cry.
She's messing up my t-shirt, she's crying hard into my chest, and I don't mean to sound mean, but this is one of my favorite t-shirts, I don't want her to ruin it. Okay, that sounded a little bit harsh, but this is my best t-shirt.
I really gave up caring about this crying mid. Like, are we still in the crying thing? Okay, yeah. We're still in the dressing room. We're still in the dressing room, so chapters, like, what, like, Three
through six are all in the dressing room. They're all, like, probably a 10-minute span.
Yeah. So, like, half of this, or a third, at least a third of this, is that first meet in the dressing room.
Yeah.
Where the characters already know each other, somehow are having one conversation, and there's just a lot of tears.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Why was this 8 pages?
But I'm supposed to be the ice queen, she answers me. I'm not supposed to show any emotion.
Isn't that what
they called me back in high school?
She really likes this. Does anybody ever use the term ice queen in High School Musical, or did she come up with this?
I feel like it's familiar.
I really was trying to figure it out, because she says ice queen a lot. She's really hammering home the ice queen, and I don't know if somebody called her the ice cream in one of them. Ice queen, not ice cream. In one of them. But they must have, because she's like, and she italicizes it. So she knows that there's something about the Ice Queen that I don't know.
I'm Googling Sharpay Ice Queen.
You're just going to get the fan fiction.
Oh, wow.
What?
There is another... Oh, God, there are so many. If you Google that, Ice Queen Chapter 1, The Ice Queen Returns, a High School Musical fanfic from 2006.
Is it the same writer?
Ice Queen needs her king. I don't know. Hold on, let me tap on this. AU, this might be from Australia?
Maybe.
This is by Ashley's Fool.
Maybe it's just like a fan fiction thing that we didn't know about.
Sharpay Evans is known as the Ice Queen at East High, but what happens if the Ice Queen is hiding something from everyone, including Ryan? Now someone will do whatever it takes to find out the truth and reveal the true Sharpay. Rating T for language and some sexual content. Disclaimer, I did not have anything to do with High School Musical.
No, obviously. Shit, really? Yeah.
I do think you're right, though. I think it's just the whole fan fiction world refers to her as Ice Queen, and so that's, like, we're on the outside looking in, really.
We are, dude. I'm really lost. Like, it was bad enough, like, we now are in the High School Musical world. I'm not in the High School Musical fan fiction world.
I would say to them to back off, even though you'd been a real bitch to us in the past and you had caused both Gabby and I pain, I would still stand up for you, because nobody deserves to be treated the way they treated you. This begins the sort of retro fitting of the fact that Troy has always kind of loved Sharpay, that he always felt bad for her, that he realized that everyone was mean to her but never did anything about it, and now he's like, well, you know, I would have stood up for you if I knew better.
Also, she's really romanticizing the second one. Like, Troy loves her mostly from High School Musical 2 when she cried at the
Yes.
course.
And they reference that. I don't know if it's in this chapter or a later chapter, but she's like, I really showed him my true self that summer. And then, like, he's like, she really showed me her true self that summer.
Yeah, well, because we have to get both perspectives of the same thing.
Outside the confines of school, they really sort of fell in love at that golf course, at that resort.
Yeah.
Which is still the best High School Musical movie.
It is, hands down. I get why she loves it, but she really likes the crying, man. She does.
So if we were sexing this up, this is absolutely the first time that they should bone in this story, right? Like, they meet up, there's an emotional, you know, she's
no,
crying on
it's
him.
It's like just after the breakup. I would have put the breakup
no,
earlier.
No, but it has to, I mean, if, well, how do you put it earlier? It happened in the beginning of chapter 3.
No, I meant, like, just in general, I would have smash cut, like, 2 nights in between this. It would have been like, they broke
broke up, and she's like, I'm still coming off that breakup, you know, and it had been, like, 3 nights later, so she's not, like, mid-cry of the breakup, and then they get a bone in
the
neck.
I think that's why it happens, though, because she's, like, so emotionally heightened, and, you know, she's crying to him, and then they start kissing, and then it just leads to sex.
Have you ever tried to hook up with a crying girl? It doesn't work.
No, but I also don't look like Troy Bolton.
True, touche. Neither of us do. Yeah, maybe. I mean, yeah. Maybe that's what it was.
Because my first note for Chapter 7 is, wait, they don't bang that night? Like, this, it was so obvious to me that should have happened. Or such an opportunity, at least in, like, a heightened, sexualized fan fiction world.
Yes.
Like, that
yes.
could have happened.
It should have been. She should have been like, fuck me, like, Peyton never did, you know what I mean, or something like that, and that's what it should have happened. I agree.
I feel myself feeling like I did in high school, the way I felt about him. Oh dear lord, am I actually falling for him all over again?
First 10 minutes she sees him again. She didn't know he was in New York.
This is again sort of saying that she was in love with him. Well, I guess she was kind of in love with him in the second movie.
She made me really question this. Like, that again, another great literary technique. She really made me reevaluate my perspective of the High School Musical movies, because I was trying to think if Sharpay really did love Zeph.
I feel like the movies set it up to be that Sharpay just wants attention, and that's why she's sort of trying to break them up, because she wants Troy to pay attention to her. Because I guess that's sort of the G or the PG way to do that. But maybe it's because she's in love with him. I mean, I think the closest thing that we see is when he's teaching her how to golf and he puts, like, his hands on her hips, right? Like, that's...
Yeah.
And I think Gabby sees that from afar and she's like, I can't believe this is happening. That's when they break up.
Yeah.
Here's the interesting thing about this fanfiction is that in none of the three movies, until Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure at least, do we ever see Sharpay's point of view. So we don't really know what she's thinking or why she's doing the things that she's doing. This fanfiction implies that she's sort of loved Troy all along. She felt that everyone was mean to her except for him. Whether she knew it or not, she had feelings for him.
Which is kind of valid, because like you said, we don't know her perspective, so like, it makes sense to me.
He flashes another cheeky smile at me. Oh god, how that smile of his makes my knees shake. There's a lot of things that he can do to her, touch her knuckles, smile, that basically just make her come.
Have blue eyes, and then she has an orgasm.
I was just wondering if you'd like to come have some dinner, he says with a shrug, because I'd like to get some food, but I have no idea where to go, and where is good, and I was thinking that we could go together, you know, as friends. I nod. There was the word friends. That means that he's still with Gabby, and there is no way that we can be together. Just when my life couldn't get any worse at the moment, boom, this happens. Because we don't know, she doesn't know, because this is also internal. The whole thing is internal until they, at the very end, are basically like, I like you too. But she doesn't know that Troy and Gabby have broken up, and so he's like, oh no, like, let's go out as friends. And so she's
just
like,
being
oh,
nice.
He's still with her, yes.
If anything, she gets right that Zeph is oblivious to everything. Am I projecting that from Summerland, or am I projecting that from High School Musical?
I don't think so. I think it's just Summerland.
I'm getting them mixed up, then.
Maybe. I mean, I feel... Because the thing is that, like... No, because he starts dating Gabby in the first movie. Like, he doesn't, like... It's not like they sort of... I guess they don't kiss until the end.
Yeah.
I think he's pretty aware that, like, she's into him and that he's into her.
No, but I mean, like, he's also, like, just oblivious to, like... Like, when he's, like, teaching Sharpay how to golf and shit, like, he doesn't get, like, that Gabriella would be not okay with it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They just like to write Zeph as, like, this... dumb
airhead.
Guy,
yeah.
Lot, so
this next scene is one that I wish that we could have seen in a movie. It's when they go out to dinner and Boy is at his high chair eating at the table, and apparently this is a restaurant with owners who love the play that Sharpay's in, and so they
which
let
we never
sort
know
of...
what it is.
Nope.
By the way.
Well, it's My Girl and or My Boy and Me. It's
oh, is it?
I assume.
Okay.
I think it's probably, I don't remember what the name of the play is, but I think it's the same play. I just assume that it's the same play that she was in the movie.
Yeah, but she, like, never says it, so I was...
No, she doesn't. I think, it's like, it's almost like she's worried about, like, copyright. Like, I don't want to reference this fictional play in this movie that I'm, you know, I named my fanfiction Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure 2, but I don't want to reference that play from that movie.
Yeah, man, that's what it is. I was also really hoping that we would get, like, what ethnicity the food is here, but she definitely delivers later. Like,
yes.
I was trying to figure out what kind of, what delicious meal this was gonna be.
This girl is, like, George R.R. Martin level of food describer. Like, he writes chapter after chapter about just, like, the wedding scenes in the Game of Thrones books are, like, just page after page of, like, the food that's there. And here,
really?
Like, yeah, and here it's just, like, they're describing in painstaking detail, like, all of the food that they ordered and, like, how it was presented and what it looked like. And I'm just like, guys, get to the quadruple spacing already.
Yeah, seriously. And this is the chapter where I really started to notice that, like, who the fuck refers to themselves by their full name in their own head? She really likes to...
It's me, Sharpay Evans.
Nobody's better looking than me, Sharpay Evans. And, like, she just says her full name all the time. It's always just Troy. It's always Sharpay Evans. And then it's always just Montez.
Looking at that smile of his, that crooked smile of his, it just draws me in, and I want all the more, but I need to stop thinking about him that way. He's with Montez, and he'll always be with Montez.
See?
She's much better than me, a better person, personality-wise, looks-wise. You've got to be kidding. There is nobody out there who is better looking than Sharpay Evans. That will never change, and that will never change the way that I think about that. Here I am, being lost in my thoughts, and Troy is looking at me from across the table. He most probably thinks that I'm weird because I'm sitting here in silence and gazing at him.
This brings me to another point. There's a lot of Sharpay, are you paying attention? Because she just wrote like 6 pages of like inner thoughts, and then she's like, yeah, I'm fine. And then he's like, are you sure? She's like, yeah, I'm fine. Like, are you sure? Yeah, I'm fine. And then that's like the next 3 pages is just like them checking on each other about why that they're thinking,
yeah,
and not responding.
Yeah, Gabby and I broke up, he replies back to me. I want to find out more. No, I need to find out more. I place my hand on top of his.
Yeah.
Whether or not in our upsexed version of this, they have sex in the previous chapter, she then says, yeah, sure, he nods. She says, I have to go to the bathroom to powder my nose or whatever.
They should bang in the bathroom, yeah?
No, this is not what I was thinking.
Okay.
I give him a smile and I stand up. I walk towards the bathroom and I push open the door. I walk into the bathroom and I look around. I want to make sure that nobody is around because what I'm about to do would be embarrassing if someone walked in on me.
Oh, she's going to fab?
Yeah. I bend down and looked underneath all the bathroom stalls. I see no feet under there, so it looks like the coast is clear. And I'm like, oh, I want her to jerk off. Like,
I was thinking of, what was the movie, like, is it Unfaithful? Were they banging in the bathroom? I was hoping for like a Unfaithful. Have you ever seen that movie?
With Diane Lane?
Yes.
Yeah.
In the snow globe? That one? I've only seen
parts of it. I've seen a scene where she's like in a bathtub talking to Richard Gere or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah,
I've
that's
seen
a great
clips
movie.
Of it.
That's
that
a
was a
great
movie when I was younger. It was one to catch on TV because like she's naked through half that movie. I'm like, oh, I can see boobs on HBO. You know, before the internet was the internet. But no, instead of, you know, going to the bathroom and, you know, jerking it or, you know, having sex with Troy, I stand up quickly and I start to shuffle my feet along the floor, pumping my fists backwards and forwards in front of my chest. She's just dancing. She's just
That's an awkward way to describe dancing, too. Like, what is she... Like, she, like, gorilla pounding? Because that's what it kind of sounds like to me.
No, I think she's doing, like, the, like, pumping her fist, like, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, and, like, sort of sliding backwards. Like, I can't... Put your elbows out to the side and your fists in front of your chest.
Okay.
And then, like, sort of push them forward and just back. And, like boom. Like, you're sort of like...
Oh, the Sharpay dance. Essentially,
yes.
The Sharpay... Okay. Makes sense. I had to do it to get what she was doing.
Yes.
She could have just said, like, I was just doing my Sharpay happy dance. Okay.
And then we cut back, and now it's a week later that he drops her off at home. They don't bang that night either, and they exchange numbers, and they've been texting basically nonstop, but they haven't seen each other again. Which, again, why is there a time jump? Why, like, spread it out?
Well, because she needs him to bang right before he leaves, is what she needs.
Because he's only in New York for 2 weeks.
Yes, so that makes sense. Like, it needs to be, like, this super magical romantic I'm leaving night.
He spends 2 weeks on a bus getting to New York, and then he's on a bus, he's in New York for 2 weeks.
Or maybe we're misjudging it, and he says he's going to be in New York for 2 weeks, and it takes 6 days to get there on the bus. He's there for 3 days, and it takes 6 days to get back.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did, I said with a smile. And how could I forget? I mean, I've taken you home twice since I've been here. I said, but what to what end? Like, you're just taking her home and dropping her off. Like, there's nothing happening.
Then we get... Okay, so we're in chapter 8 now, and this is one of my favorite parts. Sharpay has been living in New York for a year.
Yes.
She has never seen it snow.
Well, that's chapter 9. Hold on, before we get to
chapter
9. No,
I'm in chapter 8. Sharpay Evans is having fun.
Oh, that's the snow?
Yeah.
Okay, yes, then yes. Continue. I'm sorry. I wrote down that line. She's having fun. Sharpay Evans is actually having fun. I said, but she had fun in all 4 movies.
Yeah. Yes.
It's crazy that she never saw snow, but she had fun in all 4 movies.
I'm more fucking baffled by this snow thing. Because she goes, it didn't snow around Christmas. And I'm like, so from December to fucking December.
Yep.
In New York, it didn't snow not once. Like, you didn't see any. Like, where the fuck New York do you live in? Because we both live pretty close. And, like, it snows all the fucking time during the winter.
They like, do have an exchange on the phone, though. Like, yeah, it was a pretty bad winter or whatever. Like, not like a bad winter, like, as in, like, a lot of snow, but, like, bad as in, like, I want to see snow and I didn't see snow. But, like, the way that she describes it is, like, Troy looks outside and he's like, oh my God, there's snow. I've never seen snow before. And then he calls her and wakes her up and it's like, I have a surprise for you. Look outside. And then she freaks out too. She's like, oh, I've never seen snow before.
But you did see snow. There's no way you were, you lived through January, February, and March in New York. Like, December through March in New York and there was no snow.
Also, let's keep in mind that she's a rich white girl from Albuquerque near the Rocky Mountains. There's no way her dad didn't take them all skiing one winter or every winter.
No, I don't think she's ever saying she hadn't ever seen snow ever.
I got the impression she's never seen snow ever.
No. I've been here for a year now and I've never actually seen it snow.
So she's just never seen New York snow.
Yeah. You're in New York. It always snows around wintertime. It didn't snow last year. Yeah, she's definitely gone skiing. I'm positive. I'm just saying she didn't see snow in New York, which is still fucked up. So yeah, they talk about snow. They make like date plans, right? They're gonna go. Yep.
They're gonna go ice skating because
they're gonna go ice skating in Central Park because Central Park is such a lovely, beautiful place.
And it's actually it's a cute date idea. But what I think is crazy is after they go skiing or after they go ice skating, I mean, they have a snowball fight right in the next chapter.
Yeah,
she throws a snowball at him, and then I think he throws one back at her, and then she like palms one behind her back and tries to lure him over. Zephron Lover says, oh no, he says to me, you're not going to get me with that trick. He leans toward my face and says softly, I invented that move. But he's never been around snow. How did you invent a move where you throw snowballs if you've never been around snow?
I mean, well, no, it could be like a basketball jock kind of thing.
Like a Harlem Globetrotters of snowballs?
Yeah. Like, all of the suspended reality we have in this, that was the least problem I had.
I checked out mentally. I was like, I'm done. Chapter 9, I don't get the snowball thing.
Oh, really?
Not really. I was hung up on it, though, a little bit, but I kept going, because it gets better.
Yeah, during the snowball fight, she's like, I can't help but smile at that grin of his. It's so goofy, but at the same time, it's so hot. Like, that was the first, like, we're gonna get some sexualization
yes.
here. I hoped.
As we're standing, I can't help but look into those beautiful ocean blue eyes of his. Like I've said on many occasions, I could get lost in those eyes all day.
Really? Then, she talks about the blue eyes again here?
Yeah, every time I saw blue eyes, I copied it into Word.
Okay.
She does say that she thinks that Zeph is about to kiss her, and then doesn't.
And then he doesn't. Yeah. She gets all excited.
And then he's embarrassed about it.
No. He just worried that it's from Sharpay's perspective, and then she stops talking because she's in, like, this inner monologue in her head for 20 minutes.
Oh, right. That's why he's embarrassed. Yes, because she's being real weird about it.
Yeah, she's
being weird.
Stop being weird. Yeah, and she's just like, and then this was very realistic to me. They're having a snowball fight, they're having fun, they had a great day. Girl stops, starts yep. acting weird, he yep. says why, and she says, because I'm a bitch. I've never encountered a better female perspective than that. I've experienced this so many times, and like, I was like, oh, this is probably why. She cleared up a lot of things that I've been struggling with just in life. Like, so many times I'll be just like, you know, talking to Rachel, and then she just like stops talking for a while, and I'm like, what's wrong? And then she just comes out with something completely off topic, and okay, cool. Like,
yeah, now that you read Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure 2, you know where she's coming from.
Yeah, I get it. You just were way deep lost in your head. Like, I word vomit, you know, that, like, I'm an oversharer, I'm a word... So you can kind of follow
anybody
my path.
Anybody who's listened to this knows that, yes.
Yeah, but you can kind of follow my, like, you know, my logical jumps, right?
Right.
Like, I don't like...
You are a scientist. There's logic behind what you do.
Yeah, like, I can even break down the connections for you, like, how I got from one place to another. But, like, I don't stop long enough to give you, like, just a complete 180 of, like, randomness. It helped. This definitely helped.
This is also a chapter where she uses a lot of aggressive language, like bitch. She says, he's embarrassed.
Yeah, she says bitch a lot.
He's ashamed that I wanted him to kiss me, and he knows that. He's known all along that I like him, and now I feel like a complete and total retard. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Dropping a hard R in there. And then
same.
Says,
I caught that one, too. I was like, damn. Okay.
I'm a bitch, and nobody ever falls for the bitch.
Then we get some more thumb stroking. He's going to take her home again.
Yeah, and then chapter 10, we get implied shirtlessness, I'm walking around with a towel in my room trying to find clothes to wear. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Yes, I highlighted that one, too, because I was like, implied shirtlessness. So whoever had the bet on walking around in a towel.
Oh, we have to get to that. I don't remember. I got to find that.
I don't know if anybody did. And this is the loud chapter where everything is really loud. The loudest crowd ever because she's Trump. The loudest. We get Ryan mentioned again. They slam the door really loud. Sharpay screams really loud. Everything is super loud in this one.
I like this Sharpay. I really do. Wait, did I really just think what I thought I thought? I like Sharpay Evans? Wow, I didn't even know that I did. I guess spending time with her has made me change my view of her. I've gotten used to the new Sharpay and I like her. I like Sharpay Evans. I hope that she still likes me. Otherwise, this will be awkward.
Yeah, I forgot. This begins the three chapters of Do You Like Me? I Like You. I think I like her. Maybe I don't like her. I definitely like her in their heads.
It was around this point where I was like, oh, they're just not going to have sex. Like, we're literally running out of time. We're running out of real estate here.
Yeah,
and I was
same.
Like, it's either something's got to happen really fast, or we're just not going to get to it. And luckily...
So I remembered, because I was talking to you, and you said something about, like, you're on chapter 10, and you're like, I don't think they're going to have sex. Like, you... I think we specifically were talking. You said, I'm on chapter 10. I don't think there's going to be any sex in this.
Yep.
So I got to chapter 10, and I was like, oh, man, I wonder what's happening. And then as soon as we get to chapter 10, my favorite part happens... We get to butt touching, right?
I think so. I have.
This
is the chapter that I have the most things copied down for. I think.
Yeah, he's like.
This is the I am the walrus of Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure 2. Like, this is like the first time where like things get real. Like this, like don't read all the other chapters. Just read. Start with chapter 10.
Yeah, chapter 10 is a good place to start because you just get like, you know, fucking 9 chapters of them talking in a room for 10 minutes, and then you get to here. This is where I knew it was gonna get good because he's like, oh, he's talking about her legs, right? I just want to grab them and wrap them around my waist, lift her up in the air and make out with her like crazy.
Yes.
I want to grab her fine ass and squeeze her cheeks so much. I'm going to squeeze them cheeks. Come here, little girl. So that's what I got really excited about this part. I was like, okay, fine. Grab her fine ass and squeeze them cheeks.
So he says to her, hey, I say to her. I lean towards her ear and say softly into her ear. I lean towards her ear and say softly into her ear.
Yeah.
Could we go back to your dressing room and talk about something? I'm like, okay, here we go. Like, it's yes.
It's on.
But it's not quite. She places her hands on her thighs. My eyes look down at her legs. I can't get my eyes off them. They're so slender and beautiful. I just want to grab them and wrap them around my waist, lifting her up in the air and make out with her like crazy. I want to grab her fine ass and squeeze her cheeks so much. I want to stroke my fingers up and down her thighs whilst I'm making out with her. I want to kiss her so much that she moans my name. I want to make her scream my name so much that she wants me more than life itself. I want her to want me. I want her to run her fingers through my hair. I want to be able to rip her clothes off and have her here, right now. I've never wanted somebody so much in my life. But with Sharpay sitting there like that, oh man, there are so many things that I want to do with her, but I don't want to say because the things that are going through my mind right now aren't exactly PG-13. They're more along the lines of restricted.
That's it, dude. That's I just have that whole thing circled too, and I just wrote, yes, this is what I wanted.
I say, rubbing the back of my neck nervously as if I've got a knot in the back that I just can't get rid of. It's actually not a schoolboy crush. It's genuine feelings for you.
Yeah, there's a lot of neck rubbing in this too, isn't there?
Yes.
And then they get right to the point. Okay, so we go from Troy fantasizing about her legs for a little bit.
And
like,
her also, up to this point, in love with Troy.
Yeah, and she's like, no, you're not. And she just, is this where she just starts yelling at him?
She says, well, guess what, Troy? I ain't some sex toy that you can have when you feel like it. Do you
damn it! Get out of my head! Yes, that's the
on
next
you
one
in
I
high
have.
School, that I would just allow you to say that to me? You're not with Montez anymore, so you thought that you could move on to me? Well, fat chance. That's never going to happen, okay? And I was like, that was harsh, and that's also bullshit, because like all the entire thing, she's been fantasizing about him.
I don't want to be your sex toy. Then this actually got me worried. I got worried here that she was toeing the line of quadruple spacing, and we weren't going to get any.
Read my lips, I have... No, oh, I'm sorry. I point to my lips. Read my lips, I have feelings for you.
I mean, well, we needed to repeat it 6 times there.
I stroke a strand of hair off her face, and I tuck it behind her ear. I gaze down into her chocolate brown eyes, again with the eyes. I stroke my hand down her face and place it softly on the side of her neck. I smile back at her and lean towards her. I trace my thumb softly across her lower lip, and I slide it softly down her soft skin. I gaze into her eyes once more before I lean down to her lips, and I softly caress my lips against hers. This is
so
the best
much
feeling
lips.
Ever.
So
and that's how the chapter
lips.
Ends. The best feeling ever is him gently kissing her.
Yes, and the title is Best Feeling Ever. I didn't even need to look that up. Just, yeah. And then, okay, so then we get to chapter 11.
This is where it gets real good.
Then we actually get butt-touching.
Because it's from Sharpay's perspective.
Yeah, his hand is slowly reaching down to my butt. Oh, he can touch my butt like that, mm-hmm. And he did. I love describing sexual interactions as butt-touching, so for it to have literal butt-touching made me really happy.
I feel him squeeze it softly, and I squeal just a little bit, but a squeal with excitement. He knows that because he still doesn't break away. I move my hand up into his hair. It's so much different than I dreamed of. Well, because when I dreamt of this moment, he had longer hair, and I had more hair to run my fingers through.
These it's I like, can't I, take seriously.
I don't care. Right? Just get to it. Right now, it's much shorter, and my fingers are peeking out at the top. His hair is so soft and smooth, but full of product. Once we break this kiss and we've enjoyed some time together, I'm going to have a word with him about the amount of product he uses in his hair, because it's way too much. Which,
yep.
I laughed so hard at, because that's so yeah. Sharpay. It's like,
sometimes she nails it, dude.
To fix him. Yes.
Yeah, she definitely encapsulates the feelings of Sharpay a lot.
I can feel my knees becoming weaker. I don't want him to think that I'm a pussy. This is where it is.
Yeah. And then yeah, that came out of nowhere. I laughed really hard at that one because I was just like, whoa. Like, I saw the word pussy when I was like looking at the page.
Yes.
You know, like my eyes caught it. So I'm like, whoa. This is going to get good. But it's just like, no. Sharpay has a self-thought where she calls herself a pussy.
Yes.
There's no actual vaginas in this page.
Well, that's the other thing that I did to myself. When we found this when we were doing the Liam episode, and we were sort of skimming through it, and we were like going to chapter 12 and 13, and we read the beginning, and it's about like butt touching. I was like, oh, this whole thing is going to be sexy. And then I didn't realize that the first 11 chapters, or the first 9.5 chapters, or whatever, are just nothing.
Yeah, they're just like a soft date.
But maybe if he knows about it, then I'll know that his kiss is blowing me away, and I just want him to kiss me more.
Yeah, so then I'm like, okay, come on, let's get to it.
But we have to take a detour first about like how
dialogue. You shouldn't, 3 pages of dialogue.
You shouldn't kiss anyone that you don't have feelings for, and that you're not in a relationship with, and that you don't just go around kissing girls just to kiss girls, but you have to go around kissing girls because you like them, you have feelings for them.
And Zeph gets real. Yeah, so he's like talking about like, we do another, are you okay, I'm okay, are you okay, I'm okay, I'm okay. Then he just gets, like, out of nowhere, he's just like, my biggest fear is letting people down. I hate being the one who upsets them, and I hate disappointing people.
Which is also like, very good for Troy. I mean, like, not the right time, but it's the right emotion.
Yeah, yeah, but she just, like, throws this right into the...
Well, we also have a detour about Gabby here, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Gabby was
but,
so nice
to you. Sharpay brings up Gabby, which is also weird. You know what
yes.
I mean? And he's like, I don't want to talk about that right now.
I groan and shake my head. She was fake, I admit to him. I know that you don't believe me when I say that, but I was so cruel to both you and her, and she pretended to like me. She pretended to be sweet to me. I knew that she didn't have that summer. I was really rude to her.
Yeah, she definitely likes to shit on Gabby mid-makeout. But I was already prepared for that because she had set it up that she's like, Montez sucks.
Yes.
You know what I mean? The whole fucking time she's like, Montez sucks. So by the time she got to like, Gabby was fake, I was like, oh, cool. Yeah.
Par for the course, yep.
I agree.
My thoughts on your smile is that it's amazing, I admit to him. I think you have the best smile in the world. He leans toward me slightly and smiles. And what does my smile do to you, he says to me. It makes my knees go weak, I admit to him. I can't believe that I'm actually saying this to him. This is so embarrassing.
By the way, did you catch one that's like 6 or 7 chapters back when she said, it made my knees go weak?
No, but this is knee apostrophe S go weak. So she can never get the knees go weak correct. But I like that she keeps going back to that well. I mean, like, it's a good emotional well. I take his hand and I place it back on my thigh, never taking my eyes off him. He never takes his gaze off me and smiles softly at me. He holds the bottom of my thigh and pulls it onto his thighs.
Oh,
me onto his lap and wraps his arms around my waist. I can't stop looking into his beautiful ocean blue eyes.
Ocean blue eyes again, yes.
Does he want to kiss me again, or is he waiting for me to kiss him? Oh, God, who's going to make the first move? Keep in mind that this is, like, the writing where they've kissed once in this scene. Just kissed, like, kissed once. Like, they're fully clothed still, but this is the kind of writing, like, we're fully clothed. Who's going to kiss
this is why I thought
time?
She was 14. It's, like, one kiss, lots of sexual tension.
Yep.
Nobody knows what they're doing.
Yeah. Basically. He leans towards me and places his lips onto mine. He kisses me softly as I kiss him back. I place my hands on the side of his neck and scoot closer to him. I slide my tongue into his mouth, and our tongues are dancing with one another. I want to make myself more comfortable because sitting like this, it's not very comfortable.
Yeah, I stand up. I laughed so hard right there.
I stand up, still kissing him. I turn my body towards him. I sit back down on his lap. Now I'm facing him. Now this is more like it. I hear him moan into my mouth, and I smile against the kiss. Like... there's things in here that are actually like, oh, I can see this kind of, like, I haven't read the 50 Shades of Grey books, obviously. I haven't seen the movies yet, but I can see, like, bits
when you
of
watch
dialogue.
Them, I
want to
watch them with you, by the way.
Okay.
Just let me know when you're because I love them.
Okay.
They're fucking terrible in the best
oh,
way
Oh, you've
possible.
Seen them already.
No, you know what? Honestly, I've only seen Breaking Dawn Part 2, and that's the only one you need to see.
Not Twilight. I'm not talking about Twilight. I'm talking about 50 Shades.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I tried to watch it. Dude, it's fucking... It's this. It's really long. It's so long before they get to any banging. It's like so much weird, stupid sexual tension that doesn't mean anything.
Well, you know that started as... erotic fan fiction about Twilight. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's fitting here. But, like, there's words in here like, I slide my tongue into his mouth and our tongues are dancing with one another. That is written, like, by a kid, but also, like, kind of sexy a little. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I get it.
I hear him moan into my mouth and I smile against the kiss. Like, that's good. I mean, she might have lifted that from somewhere, but that's kind of sexy.
Moan into my mouth made me feel like he was vomiting. By the way, this was really great because I had so much mental imagery of this happening.
Yeah.
Like, I could see it in my head. You know what I mean? Like, it was so easy to put the characters into this thing for me. Like, if we could do, like, a live-action version of this, I would know exactly how to direct it. Like, I have all of the scenes played out in my head.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like, as bad as it is...
We've talked about how, like, how deep we are into these movies. Like, we know these characters, which is crazy, and so I agree with you. Like, yeah, I want to see you direct Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure 2.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I really think we could do it, because, like, I see it. So, her scooching over because she's on a weird part of his legs thing, like, I get it. I was sold. And then, obviously, it ends with, but I guess my dreams can come true, because the title of the chapter was My Dreams Come True.
The next chapter, chapter 12, is when he's gonna bail on her to go back to school. Like, they've kissed 3 times. Not, like, made up, but, like, kissed, like, lips 3 times,
yeah,
it feels like.
Yeah.
And he's like, I have to go back to school. I need to finish up my school. There's also this whole narrative thread in this
story.
This
is the Chinese food one, too, by the way.
Yes. Where Troy doesn't know what things smell like.
Wait, what?
Where?
Oh, yes,
the
narrative thread
in her
that he always...
room.
Everything always smells like flowers, but he can't tell which one.
Exactly. He's like, I'm a boy. I don't know what flowers smell like. And then here, he says, I apply my aftershave to my face and neck. I want to smell good for her. I want her to remember my scent. Like, he's obsessed with smells and not good at them.
Yes. Yes, he is. She, like, simultaneously gazes him up a lot and then straightens him out really quickly, too.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, her perfume is so beautiful. I really love it. But it's a flower. I don't know what any flowers are. You know, like...
There is a line here that he says that reminded me of the movie. I know that I said that I didn't love her, but what I do know is that I really like her, and I would love to be with her. I would love to fall in love with her one day, because the Sharpay that I know is the Sharpay I want to spend the rest of my life with. And it reminded me of, like you said, the Sharpay you know isn't the Sharpay that has become the Sharpay that is this Sharpay. Remember?
Yes.
So it's like, but this is not from Troy's perspective, so... Both he and her, when talking about Sharpay, are talking about it in, like, a way that they just keep saying her name over and over again.
Yes. We also get that apparently NYU doesn't have acting classes.
Well, they don't have acting and basketball is the thing.
But they do.
He wants to do both. I'm well aware that they do. But the whole thing is that there's no school in New York that can offer what the school in California does, which is allow him to study theater and play basketball.
He could just be on the and one team. They, like, play in the park.
Can you imagine Troy on the and one team? Like, I want
to
see that.
Yes, I just did, and it's awesome. Just like, and then he uses the, wait, then we get a flash cut back to the Sharpay with the snowball behind the back, and you see him do the
I want to take, like, an and one mixtape from the early days of YouTube, when YouTube had, like, 40 videos, and, like, half of them were and one mixtapes.
Yeah.
And I want to just, like, cut, like, grainy footage of Troy from High School Musical 1, but, like, a
the
VHS...
The scene with High School Musical 1 or 2, where all the basketballs fall from... All the CGI basketballs fall from the sky. It would just be, like...
I want to take, like, somebody taped it off the TV onto a VCR tape, and then uploaded it to a computer, and then re-recorded it onto a VCR tape, and just, like, copy of a copy of a copy, and then take that grainy footage and put it in an and one mixtape, and then have all the basketballs fall from the sky. That's what I want.
Yeah, I want it to be, like, his intro. Like, you know, like, when they show all of them at the beginning, like, doing one trick? I just want to see Troy standing there with his arms out, and, like, it's just, like, Troy Bolton, and all the basketballs are coming down behind.
Oh, God, it'd be so good. I want that so bad. If you are listening and you can do this, I don't know how you can do this, we'll spend an entire year talking about this video. Like, we will do 24 episodes about your movie. If you can make an and one mixtape with
Troy Bolton
video there, in there, please do it.
Yeah.
2 weeks isn't long enough, and for the first few days, we weren't like this. We weren't in a relationship. I mean, that is what it is, isn't it? I smile. Of course it is, I say to her. I wouldn't be kissing
you like this.
Oh, you skipped a good
part, though. She shits on Gabriella again. You missed that part.
Oh, I didn't take a note of that. What did she say?
I care more about her than I ever did with Gabriella. She just, like, throws that into the middle of his... Yeah, into like a middle of a Zeph inner dialogue, she just throws in.
Wow.
She just throws. Yeah, like they've been together for like we're like 2 weeks into this. He already loves Sharpay way more than he ever did Gabriella,
who he's been with for 4 years in high school and 3 movies. Like, okay,
and went to school with. Yeah,
and okay. Had sex with.
Yeah,
Sharpay. I say to her with the softest tone my voice could possibly do.
Soft
I know
tone.
That we're not in love with one another. She nods, but I was thinking. Says as I look down and then back up that maybe tonight could be our special night.
Yes.
She's shocked and her eyes open wider than before. You want to be with me? She says with a shock in her voice. Sexually?
Yes.
I nod. I do, I say. But if you don't want that, but if you don't want to that, then I'll understand.
Yes,
if
that's you're not you read ready, it correctly.
If you're not ready, then I really would understand.
And then she throws in, so we keep going, he's convincing her to have sex. She's pretending like she doesn't want to. Well, no, she's a virgin.
She talks
about
she's
worried
Pete,
about
they
that.
Were, they were a year. This is when, like you said before, we were both crazily busy, and I think towards the middle of the relationship, we both kinder gave up on it.
Yeah, because like, no fuck, wonder you stole mine again. You stole my thunder again.
I was like, no wonder he left you, Ice Queen, because you were with him for a year.
You kind of gave up on having sex with him.
We never got the chance to do it, she admits.
Yeah, you would do that for me?
I've always been in love with you, and I've never stopped, she admits with a smile. Good, she replies. I'm afraid of having sex.
They're working into them, like, negotiating sex terms.
They're both trying to convince themselves that they're ready, basically. Like, they don't need to convince one another. They're trying to convince themselves that, like, this is the time.
I don't know.
You don't think so?
No.
I'm afraid of having sex, but person isn't on their first time. I want to remember you in a good way, Troy. More good than I already remember you. But if we're not going to see each other for a while, then I think that this way is the best way to say goodbye and have the memory of whilst we're not with one another. I lean towards her and I kiss her softly. I place my free hand on the side of her neck. I deepen the kiss by sliding my tongue into her mouth, and we both moan at the same time. I release her hand and move it to the small of her back, and I stroke my hand softly against it. She moves towards me, moving towards my lap. She arches her thighs over mine and sits on my lap, wrapping both of her arms around my neck. We're together, and this is going to be a night that I'm never, ever going to forget, which is also the name of the chapter.
The title of the chapter.
It's a weird book.
It's weird, yeah, but we're getting there. Okay, so then we're chapter...
3 chapters left. Chapter 13 we're on now.
Exhilarating and Pleasurable is the name of this chapter. Does she end with Exhilarating and Pleasurable? I need to look.
No, she
doesn't.
I think she ends with Holy Sweet Jesus, right?
No, it was something else. I just looked at it. I can't wait for the rest. Yeah, so now we're just building... We're 3 chapters deep into them almost having sex. So she's blue-balling the fuck out of me right now. I just want Zeph to start pounding Sharpay, but we're not even getting there yet.
This whole chapter is Sharpay trying to convince herself that moaning is okay.
Yes, that is. Yeah, now that you say it, yeah, that's exactly what this chapter is.
I don't want to scare him by moaning, but maybe just
is it okay if I moan? If I moan
thing?
A little bit, yeah. If I moan too much,
I've never been in this situation before. I've never felt so much pleasure and desire in my entire life. And I wrote down, he's kissing her neck, and this is the most pleasurable thing that she's ever felt.
Apparently, also we get him to like actually get shirtless in chapter 13.
I need to read this paragraph because this might be the best paragraph in the entire thing.
Go for it. Which
I've
one is
always
it?
Wanted to see what Troy Bolton's body looks like. I've always imagined it to be the most perfect body in the world with his ripped pecs, abs, and bulging biceps. I raise his t-shirt up to his shoulder and raise it to the nape of his neck. He sits up slowly and I follow him up too. He raises his hands in the air for me to raise it over his head, which is what I do. I raise it up his biceps, which are huge. They're bulging and I just want to place my hands on them, but I need to get his t-shirt off. I need to see what his body looks like.
Yeah.
I lower my gaze to his stomach and there they are, his perfectly ripped abs.
Yeah. You definitely cut out some.
But that's like the gist. I mean, it's who
beautiful
boy.
Ocean blue eyes. Back
oh, she did it again?
Blue.
I missed it.
Yeah, it's right after this.
Oh,
right
man.
After his perfectly ripped abs.
Oh, no. A tingling sensation shoots up my arm. I slowly look up at him and I gaze into those beautiful ocean blue eyes of his. They're gazing down at me and that smile of his. Oh, God. He now knows
smile,
what that smile
ocean blue eyes.
I feel my knees starting to buckle, but as they're about to buckle, I feel his hand placed on the small of my back. He's keeping me up. What a gentleman. And then this is where that foreshadowing comes back about her wearing that white dress.
Yeah, we get, there's a lot of back in this one. I forgot that there was so much back,
if
back holding.
Back and, like, knuckles and neck and, like, There's no erogenous zone at all. Yes.
I want to know what this chick is into. Like, I really wish we could ask her, like, what...
She's into neck play.
a lot of neck play, a lot of lower back play.
Thumb play,
yeah.
I'm wearing something that I would never usually wear. I'm wearing a white summer dress. No pink, no rhinestones, just a simple white flowing summer dress. I want to try to see what I actually looked like in something simple. But, like, again, this is where she, like, doesn't go far enough in describing. Like, she doesn't describe the underwear that she's wearing. You know what I mean? Like, not that she's going to. But,
no,
like, this
he
is
does.
True
he does in the next chapter. He says they're, like, the most perfect white lace underwear ever, and then that's it.
But, like, I wanted her to get, like, real dirty. Like, because it's getting hot and heavy. I mean, relatively speaking, at least.
Yeah.
I wanted her to go further, and she just doesn't.
Yeah. Shaved vaginas and everything. I wanted the whole nine yards here.
I get distracted by my thoughts again, and the next thing I know is that my dress is being slid off by him. But her dress is on her body in one form or another for the next what feels like 45 minutes. It's like it's like on her shoulders and then on her hips and then like on her legs, and it's just like how long? Unless, so here's an alternative theory. Four chapters actually take place in a span of like 4 seconds. And so,
no,
like,
it was.
But it just, it's interminably long.
I would like to imagine this as, like, an extension of American Beauty.
Okay.
Like, when Kevin Spacey's about to bang the girl.
Yep.
Like, that's how I'm seeing this play out.
I feel his hand moving up to my breasts. His hand is now cupped on my breast. I've never felt this feeling before. This is a beautiful feeling. I feel a shiver traveling up my body, up my spine, but it's not a shiver, I think. I think it's an orgasm. Wow.
Yes.
I've never actually had one of these before. They're good. Really good. I want more. I want another orgasm, but I can't just tell him to do more. Can I?
I really want to meet a woman that can orgasm from a boob touch. That will be awesome.
It's amazing.
She'd be so easy to please.
He looks up at me and flashes me that beautiful smile of his, but this time it has a slight quirk to it. Sharpay, he says to me. I haven't even started yet. This is just the beginning.
Oh, yeah! He's getting real cocky. I forgot about this. I haven't even started. You ain't seen nothing yet. Dun, dun.
I can't even explain this feeling, and there's going to be more. Holy sweet Jesus.
Wasn't it more than that? Is it just holy sweet? I thought it was like, holy sweet mother of God, Jesus. In my head, I wrote out like 50 more exclamations into that.
Well,
like,
I think that she adds so many words in between things that she would have spread that out, but I only have written down here, holy sweet Jesus.
It's only holy sweet Jesus, you're right, yeah. Then more neck play. I can't wait for the rest.
Chapter 14, if I didn't hear her moan, then I would worry.
This is my favorite chapter of the sex
play stuff.
Because
it's the Troy perspective sex scene, yeah.
No, there's so much hardened nipple.
Oh, yes.
there's a lot of hardened, erect, firm, hardened nipples.
It also takes 4 or 5 sentences for him to unhook her bra.
Yeah, but he's trying to play it cool, man.
I stroke my hand to her back, and I feel her raise her back up into an arch, which makes it easier for me to unhook her bra. I slide my hand to the bra strap, and I squeeze the two clasps together. I unhook the bra, and I slide my hand underneath one of her bra straps, stroking my fingertips against her skin. I lift up her bra strap and slide it down her arm gently as I can. I remove my hand from her breast and gently pull down the other strap of her bra. I slide it over her thin but beautiful wrist and drop it down to the side of us.
She definitely knows how to take off a bra, for sure.
This is like an instructional, like, you know, middle school health video. Like, this is how you put on a bra.
Yes, it absolutely was. There was a lot of direction in this. This could have been, I unsnapped her bra strap. You know what I mean? But
it's 116 words what I just read about unhooking her bra. Yes.
Wow. Shit. Yeah. We get more neck play. Nape
I wrote
of the
down
neck.
So much neck. Kiss.
Wait. I just saw three paragraphs in a row that start with the nape of her neck.
Yeah.
I'm kissing the nape of her neck. I'm still kissing the nape of her neck. My lips are teasing her.
I want to know how much erotic fan fiction this girl reads, because this
That's
is not
true.
Her only
Good
story
point.
That she's written. She's written about a dozen. Remember we looked up, there was like a whole other thing that we didn't know. It was like some gay story that she wrote that like the characters were both gay but the actors are straight. There's some like weird...
What?
There's something she was super into. Let me see if I can find it. Hold on.
What are you talking about?
When we looked up Zephron Lover 19 a while ago, I ship Sebtana. Even though they're gay in the show, they're both straight in real life. Remember we didn't know what Sebtana was, Sebastian and something. Like, we don't know.
Yeah.
So, like, she's written about a dozen stories on fanfiction.net, but she's got to have read so many more.
Yeah, I want to know where you get your inspiration for sexy fanfiction from, and it has to be other sexy fanfiction.
Almost certainly.
So, who's the wizard behind the original sexy fanfiction? I want to be that guy. I want to teach young girls about...
No, don't do not complete this thought. This is a dark thought, whatever road you're going down right now.
Yeah, never mind.
Do you think, and this is like a semi-serious question, do you think that fan fiction, erotic fan fiction, became more, not necessarily accepted, but more mainstream? Well, no, accepted also. When E.L. James wrote Fifty Shades of Grey, like, it has, yes. Like that's what brought it to mainstream, right?
That was absolutely what it was.
Like,
there
when
was,
moms
definitely...
could openly read it on the beach and, like, not be judged by it.
Yeah, that, I think that the internet in general made it a little bit better. I remember that there was, like, some Harry Potter fan fiction, not erotic Harry Potter. I mean, not that I read, but, like, I remember that there was Harry Potter fan
fiction. Not that you read, but that you wrote.
That I wrote. He rubs his wand gently over her.
There's that internet rule that's like whatever you can think of is on the internet.
Rule 34.
Rule 34. Also, there's probably, no matter what characters you think of, there's erotic fan fiction of the two of them together.
I don't know. Because that takes some effort. Maybe.
Maybe not like any random characters together, but like any show that has any kind of a following, I guarantee you, you can easily find erotic fanfiction about it.
I never thought there would be Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure 2 erotic fanfiction, so.
That's why we play the Google game, because you find gems like this. I move my hand up to her breast and cup it in one of my hands. I stroke my thumb softly over her erected nipple.
So much erect nipple.
I guess any moan of pleasure is good. I don't know the difference between each moan. I've only ever been with one other person, and to me, they all sounded the same. Just like even he can't even like Gabby's not even good at sex, like I don't know, like I she wasn't good enough to distinguish like her moans for me.
Yeah, dude, Gabby sucks. Montez sucks. We've talked about this.
I kiss the top of her breast whilst stroking her hardened nipple. My kiss goes lower to her hardened nipple. I've been told that what I'm about to do was very pleasurable. Well, according to Gabby, it was one of the most exhilarating things she's ever experienced, but then again, she was a virgin and anything that I did was good to her. But also Sharpay is a virgin, like,
yes,
this is a weird double standard that they're like. So Zephron Lover 19 hates Gabby. Like, it's not Sharpay hates Gabby. Zephron Lover 19 hates Gabby.
Yeah, she's projecting for sure.
Do you think that she wishes that she... Does she want to be with Troy, or do you think that she just wants Sharpay to be with Troy? Like, how deep of an inception does this go?
I can't tell. I think that she wants to be with Troy, and I think that she sees more of Sharpay in herself.
Well, so here's a question. Does she want to be with Troy, or does she want to be with Zac Efron? Zac Efron, probably, right? I mean, her name is Zephron Lover 19.
Yes, because she changes his hair. Because she changes his hair to match the style he was actually wearing in real life. Mm. She loves actual Zeph.
So do you think that, like, she's fantasizing about, like, New Year's Eve era Zeph?
That's the one that came out next, yeah. She's, like, when Zeph cut his hair...
Same year as Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure 1, yes.
And she used scenes from New Year's Eve, remember? So, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's her ideal Zeph. That's her residual Zeph image.
Well, she was just like, I think that she was in love with him since 8th grade, and that she was projecting this, and that, like, now he got older, she got older, and she's like, let's fucking do this.
Yep.
Rub your thumbs all over me.
Yep. I lower my lips down at her stomach, and now I'm at the rim of her panties, her perfectly white laced panties. I place my hands on her dress, which is riding her hips. Still keep in mind, her dress still on her body.
Yes,
and I lower them down her thighs, and I pull them off her legs.
Yeah.
Is something wrong? She asked me with a concern in her voice.
Again, this is another, is there anything wrong? No, I'm fine. Are you sure I'm fine?
I shake my head at her. Then why did you stop? She asked me again. Ooh. I just wanted to admire you, I admit to her. I'm feeling hot. Joe, I don't know about you, but like I think it's hot in here.
Yeah, I have the fan on.
I move away from her and I gaze at this beauty in front of me, this vulnerable beauty. She smiles up at me with emotion in her eyes. Nobody has ever called me beautiful before, she says.
What? Yeah, I couldn't believe this part.
Thank you, Troy. Everybody her entire life has told her she's beautiful. I guarantee you that.
Yes. Yeah, I didn't get that one either. The whole, like, nobody's ever told me I'm beautiful. Again, this is why I think that this is Sharpay is this girl in this situation.
Troy, she says softly to me, it sounded like a whisper, but slightly louder.
I like that one,
I answer her with the same tone in my voice. Make love to me, she finally asks.
Yes.
And then the last line of the chapter, I don't just like Sharpay, I think that I love her. And that's the name of the chapter.
Yeah, and then he came, and then he remembered that he doesn't.
And then chapter 15, my first note is, ugh, they quadruple spaced, damn it.
Yes, same. The note across I have the top of my chapter 15 is, God damn it, she quadruple spaced us.
Yeah. This is a masterclass in trolling. Like, she set up this, like, it's, I feel like this is 5 years in the making just to fuck with us.
Yeah, I wonder if people are reading these weekly. That's why I think that they had to be released monthly, so that you got to chapter 14, you're like, yes, I can finally fap to this. And then all of a sudden, they're just like, nope, we just wake up the next morning.
Because remember, this has like tens of thousands of views. Like, we're not the only people who read this. Like, this is like, again,
it had like 100 favorites or something, right?
Yeah. I don't know how popular this is in the grand scheme of things, but like, a lot of people have read this.
Yeah.
So this is up a lot of people's alleys. Like, even if you factor out the people like us who are not really reading it ironically, but kind of reading it ironically, like, we're like, oh, this will be fun to talk about. There's still an overwhelming number of people who read, like, oh, I want to see how this happens. Yes.
Yeah.
I actually had sex with Troy Bolton. I broke my virginity with him.
Yes, I broke my virginity with him is the line that I have highlighted too, yes.
He was the one who de-virgized me. Even if that's not a word, that's exactly what he did.
Yeah.
Then, so she's in bed.
I didn't catch it. It was I just read it as de-virginized.
De-virgized.
I didn't read it as de-virgized till you just said that. My brain just fixed it.
The crazy thing about this, and this again is, I don't know what to make of this, is that she's in bed. He's sleeping on her. Like, he's just sleeping on her chest. Sharpay has to pee so bad that she has to sneak off and go to the bathroom. Otherwise, she would wet herself. And
yeah,
then she goes in the bathroom.
I sigh hard because I would rather go for a pee than leak on him and have him run away from me because he's creeped out. And I was like, cool, we're getting into some weird fetish shit. If we had three more chapters of this, we could get into the pee tapes. And yeah. I'd be really excited about it.
But her emails.
But her emails, yes.
And then she goes in the bathroom and notices that her hair and makeup are a mess, and she's like, if he woke up and saw me like this, he would run out screaming. It's like, well, no, I mean...
And then she does a three-page makeup tutorial YouTube video.
Yes.
In the middle of this one that I just, like, was like, fuck this, and just skipped all of it. Because I was so irritated that we got quadruple spaced that I was not paying attention to this makeup video.
You did not miss the best... What I take back... earlier, the best part of this. I'm going to read this two paragraphs that I'm going to read to you.
Go ahead.
I hear the door creak open. This is during her makeup tutorial.
Yes, no, I didn't miss this.
Okay.
No.
I hear the door creak open more, and as I glance to the side, I notice him standing there with one of my sheets wrapped around his waist. Again, shirtless. His toned, muscular body is on show. Bless him. His hair is all over the place, but dang, he sure looks hot with that look. I hear the sheet, and then he, like, moves closer to her, and she says, I can't read this. This is the one paragraph I can't read without laughing. I hear the sheet dropping to the ground. I dare not look away from his eyes to glance down at his large penis. It is very big. I was shocked when I saw how big it was. But I'll tell you something. That penis of his sure does give a lot of pleasuring.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely have all that highlighted, too.
The book ends... with him saying, yeah, I'm still going back to school, but we can cuddle until I'm gone.
And she's cool with it.
Because he de-virgized her.
Yeah. Yeah. With his large, pleasurable penis. I like the use of the word pleasurable a lot. She uses pleasurable and pleasuring.
Well, pleasurable is in at least one chapter title, right? Like, the most pleasurable feeling or whatever?
Yeah. I always thought, like, if I was writing sexy novels for guys, pleasurable would not be a word we would use.
Well, sexy novels for guys is just video porn on the internet.
Yeah, but I mean, like, there had to be sexy... No, you know what? Even back then, it was just fucking pictures, right? They would just draw pictures of nudes.
Yep.
Yeah. So, okay, so there's never been sexy novels But I was just, I was just thinking, if I was ever talking to anyone about a sexual experience, pleasurable would not be one of the things I would say.
Would you say it with emotion in your voice?
With an emotional tone?
Yes.
I would say it with an emotional tone.
Anything else you want to say about Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure 2 before we get into the games portion? I can't believe that we talked about this for 90 minutes. This is mind-boggling to me. We talked about it for like three times longer than it took to read it.
Yeah. I have a lot of ADD, drug-induced ADD nowadays, so like this took me a long time to
read. Not factoring in like all the downtime between chapters. I'm just talking like, you know, cumulative time spent reading.
Oh, no. This took me way longer than an hour and a half to read. Like,
oh, really?
In general. Yeah, I just read like very slow. I get distracted and stuff, so. Yeah, I didn't know thumbs were so sexy. Montez sucks. Zeph has a large penis, and...
But he uses it so pleasurably.
Yeah.
Okay, mailbag. Once again, Jenny McMullen coming through. Jess Collins nowhere to be seen.
I think Jess is threatened, and she's becoming the Montez of this.
Oh, no.
She's becoming the Montez. She's Jess feeling threatened by Sharpay.
She's been tweeting at Cage Club Pod on Twitter. She tweeted something recently like, listening to the We Are Your Friends soundtrack, time to go listen to Zack Attack.
So yeah,
she's still
this.
Listening. She's just not writing in, which is disappointing.
Also fine.
But it's also fine. That's fair. Because we have Jenny McMullen.
Jess Montez.
So she sent three emails. First one, link for fan fiction. Hi guys, I don't read nearly as much as I did 5 years ago, but I would like to check out the fan fiction and see if I can get into it. I'm sorry, Jenny, that you read this, but you wanted it. Also need to know turnaround times for when you record and when podcast is available for download. Not sure the terminology. Loved the last episode. We'll send Summerland hate mail soon. Jenny, aka fan number 4. And so I responded to this with a link to the fan fiction. I responded with the word attachment, and I told her what I can tell everybody in terms of, if you're wondering, in terms of emails, butter emails, we usually record about a week before the episode comes out.
Yeah.
Just to give email bag time to fill up. So from here on out through November 1st, we have an episode twice a month, so the 1st and the 15th of every month. So we'll generally be recording around like the 23rd and like the 8th or something.
Yeah.
Usually if you listen to an episode within the week it comes out and send an email, it'll make it onto the next episode.
True.
Or if we're back to a one a month, and we have to figure out when we're doing two different podcasts. I mean, we're going to have two different emails, so you're going to have like a month to send stuff in, or 3 weeks to send stuff in. For now, you know, you have a while to sort of get onto the podcast. You have like, you know, a week or so to listen and to email in. So a good amount of time, I think.
I think so. I think it's fair.
Her second email just said, awesome, thanks. So she was grateful that we sent the email. So the last one, I don't know if I read this one. Oh, I did read this one. Okay. Last email, hate mail number 3. This was sent 2 days ago. Hi, guys. Love that you so look forward to my emails and that they make
you
happy.
I still do. Thank
you. Genuinely. Yes. Thank you, Jenny. Now let's get to the hate part. Bunko is not a card game. Did you even Google it? I did, but I forgot. I'm sorry. It's a dice game that has been around for many years and is usually played by groups of 12 or more people. I started my Bunko group in 2005. We meet once a month to play,
damn,
and we have tons of fun.
Damn.
Back to the love part. Love that you have cats. Cat people are my kind of people. Also really liked hearing how you guys met and became friends.
Aww.
As for the language question, most of the podcasts I listen to have a little red E beside them. That's iTunes for explicit. And
yeah.
I also talk like that mostly because I've been giving less of a fuck about it the older I get, and I kind of enjoy the shock value when I surprise friends with it, which is
word
super cool and funny. I do still keep it to myself in certain company, though. I haven't seen Summerland, but based on your review, I've got two fire-ass title suggestions for you, which I do like this. Jess has not been writing in with her rankings, but Jenny here is submitting her own fire-ass titles for Summerland.
I want to hear them.
Number one, they're both really good, and I'm not just saying this. Number one, Horny Housemates.
Oh, it is about Horny Housemates. That's a good one. I like the alliteration, too.
And number two, Making Out in Cali.
Wait, isn't the one girl's name Callie?
Yes,
too?
I just realized that.
Those are really good.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Lastly, love that one of my guesses for the new podcast was correct, and I will definitely be subscribing to it. My next two guesses are, she gets both wrong. Again, both similar to the kind of person that we're doing, but neither right. She guessed Bradley Cooper.
Wow, that's a good one.
And Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
I feel like we talked about doing Ryan Reynolds, but then it was just like, I think he's probably pretty high in terms of guys that we would do, but he's not the other one.
I like Bradley Cooper. I think that we could get by a lot better with Bradley Cooper, because he just has like a lot of mixed shit.
I don't want to talk about the Hangover movies for 3 episodes.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that he's in those. I love Hangover 1. I don't want to talk about Hangover movies for 3 episodes either. It's like, god damn it.
And then she signs the email, stay cool, Jenny, a.k.a. fan number 4. So thank you, Jenny, for
You're
writing
You're moving up in. The rank, Jenny. We should give you like fan number C.
We might have to recalibrate the rankings.
Now we have Montez not sending any emails.
Next game is the Google game, Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure 2. Can't really play it because it's just full movie trailer part 2. Is there a Sharpay Fabulous Adventure 2? People confused. It's not like, you know, people writing and then neck or back or knuckles or thumb or whatever, which is unfortunate.
How did you not go with neck, back, pussy, and crack? I have no idea, but you just dropped the fucking ball with that one.
Well, the first three are all mentioned, but is crack crack's not mentioned in this at all, either the butt crack or crack rocks, so... Man, if they did drugs in this, it'd be so good.
She makes the coke reference.
I know, but
yes, they should have done drugs. I wanted to take, like, some ecstasy and get, like, really freaky with it.
Do, like, Braiden level, you know, just get real messed up.
ECA stack, and they just, like, start banging on it and paint their rooms.
Trailer game we cannot play. There isn't a trailer for this. I mean, there is the trailer, but it's, yeah, we watched it. There's nothing there. Crying and shirtless. Okay. I said, Zeph crying on the street. He does not cry in this. She cries a lot.
She cries a lot.
Zeph crying on the street, Sharpay killing it on Broadway. She nurses him back to health with her body. Shirtless for a sex scene, which is true, but that's sort of lame. Has hot wax dripped on him, which I got wrong. Hot wax, it would have fit in this world, I feel.
Yeah, with the pink candle, because obviously I'm Sharpay Evans. She said with a serious tone.
You said Sharpay will be super fabulous in NYC, which you are right. She gets hit by a car, which, man, that's not even close, but it still would have been great. Zeph sees it and starts crying. To make a tourniquet, he takes his shirt off wraps it around her to stop the bleeding. It's raining, too. A taxicab hits her. He says, oh no, Sharpay, her leg is fucked up or something. It's raining. He's crying. It's raining.
Oh, that was good. I think
I'm glad you amuse you. That's my favorite.
I just make myself laugh. I think that I throw in like a lot of that's part of the reason why I listen to them later, because I throw in, even like when I would study, like when I was in school, I would write jokes in my own notes just for like when I was reading it. Like, seriously, this isn't even a joke. I would write jokes in my own notes so that, like, later when I'm reading them, I'd be like, oh, man, that's pretty funny. But, you know, because, like, you study, like, you know, it would be like you take the notes on the chapter, right? And then you have, like, 6 chapters for the test.
Yes.
So, like, I wouldn't see them for, like, a month. And then I'd go back through my notes and be like, damn, I'm pretty funny. I would crack myself up. Much like that, in this podcast, I like to leave myself jokes that at least I think are funny.
That when you
and that's
back,
why I go back and
laugh.
Listen to them.
Yep. The next movie that we're doing, we're actually doing a movie. It's the last movie that we're doing. It's Miracle Run from 2004. It's a TV movie starring Mary Louise Parker, I believe, from Weeds.
I don't know who that is. I never watched Weeds.
What else was she in? I mean, she's mostly Weeds. I think she was maybe in, like, Angels in America.
I've had
she's
too many
Broadway
women
too.
Tell me that I would like Weeds, that I didn't really like too much. Not that I don't judge the opinions of women well. It's just that I didn't like these women too much, and they always told me, like, I should watch Weeds because I did a lot of drugs. And I was like, those two things don't go hand in hand.
Weeds was on for 8 years. The first 3 seasons are very good. So I would say you have time, watch the first 3 and then just pretend that 3 is a series finale.
Okay.
There's like 1 or 2 good years later, but like for the most part, it happens what happened to every Showtime show where they had like a bunch of characters that they wanted to make sure that they had stories about, even though they
like
didn't
Dexter.
Need to have stories about. Yes, exactly. And so it just became this too big and sprawling. But the first 3 seasons, I think, are really good. It's just, it's also kind of unfortunate that 3 or 4 years, or 2 or 3 years after it debuted, Breaking Bad came out. And that sort of did the mild-mannered person becoming a drug dealer better than any other show ever. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard. Weeds is a different tone. But I was like, give it a shot. And also, Weeds was created by Junji Kohan, who did Orange is the New Black, and she also did Glow.
Oh, cool.
So, you know, those...
And Blow, too? Blow the movie?
Glow. Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, the Netflix series.
I don't ever watch it.
Not Blow. So, Crying and Shirtless for Miracle Run, starring Mary Louise Parker. Again, I think this is a horse movie. I don't actually think it's, like, for some reason in my brain, like, I know it's not a horse movie, but, like, in my brain, I think it's a horse movie.
Go for it.
I'm not gonna guess like that because it's gonna be wildly off. I'm guessing he's a track runner in high school.
Fuck you! I was gonna use that one, damn it. Okay.
But here's where it's gonna be different. I'm guessing he's special needs.
That's fair.
It's sort of like a Rudy. Rudy's not special needs, but Rudy's like, you know, a small guy who gets into the game at the whatever.
Yeah.
I think that he is going to cry because kids at school are mean to him, and he's also going to cry in happiness at the end when he's inserted into a race at the end that they've already either won by a lot or lost by a lot, and he gets to run the last leg or something and win the race for them, I think. So that's crying. Shirtless. I don't think he's going to be shirtless in this, but to play our game, I'm going to say that Mary Louise Parker gives him a bath, a sponge bath,
ooh,
as like a doting mother. Not like in a sexual way, but just, you know, he can't bathe himself.
Okay.
Keep in mind that this movie, Miracle Run, came out in 2004, which is only 2 years before High School Musical. And I'm basically acting like he's like a 9 or 10 year old boy in this, but he's really like 15 or 14. You know what I mean? Like, he's not
really
super young.
Summerland's not before this?
Summerland's the same year.
Okay.
Summerland debuts the same year as this. This was his TV movie debut. There was stuff he did before this, but this is his first movie. Well, this is the first movie that we could find. Because remember, there's the Wide Wonderful World of Carl Lamke or whatever, and Triple Play, which we couldn't find. But this is the first movie that he did that we can find. There's a DVD that's out there somewhere.
So I got an idea.
Go for it.
I think that Miracle Run is just going to be a fan fiction version of Forrest Gump that's just the part where he's running the whole time.
But he's a 14-year-old boy.
No.
Oh,
it's going to be just Forrest Gump running. Zeph meets him.
Okay, here's a question. I want to flesh this out. Is Zeph playing Zac Efron, or is he playing a character?
He's one of the characters that runs along Tom Hanks during Forrest Gump. Because it's fan fiction, you know the part where he gets the shirt and like wipes it on his face and makes a smiley face shirt?
Yes.
Zeph was actually wearing that shirt, takes it off.
So it's like a real like Mean Joe Green Coca-Cola commercial jersey hands to the little kid.
Yeah, but it's going to be like reverse. Zeph takes his shirt off, gives it to Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks puts his face on it, makes a smiley face shirt. Zeph is that kid. And then Zeph later becomes the salesman of the smiley face shirts. And when he makes all the money, he spends it all on cocaine and hookers. And they're like at this scene afterwards where he's at a racetrack. So it's a double Miracle Run.
Ooh.
He's at the racetrack. And he realizes that all of his money is gone, and he makes, like, one last bet. Or maybe it's a horse track. At a horse track, and he makes one last bet of $2 for this horse to win. And he wins, like, 40 grand.
Whoa.
And he won, and he's so excited, he starts crying. And then people pick him up, and they're, like, holding him in the air. And that's how he's shirtless and crying.
I like it a lot. I like that a lot. I do like that in your brain that there's horses too.
Yeah, I mean, I first thought horses, then I thought he's definitely going to be a relay runner, you know? And you kind of took that too.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
I just realized we could be playing another game all along. I'm going to add this here. We have crying, shirtless, and what new job is he going to have in the next movie?
Oh.
He's a kid, so he's not like a job, but like, what is he going to do for money or for chores or whatever? I don't know how that's going to fit into my world that he's a special needs kid. Maybe he sells lemonade.
He sells lemonade? Selling fucking, slanging the tang outside of his house. That works. I was going to say that he, if even going with yours, he's like a work study and like sets up the hurdles on the track.
Okay.
Yeah, he's like equipment manager.
I think that's a fun addition to the game. I think it's because it's something we always talk about, you know, whether he's shirtless or he's crying, and like we always point out new jobs and stuff.
What sport is he going to play? Oh, okay, so I went runner,
runner.
Okay, runner, that works.
Runner. Letterbox game we can't play because we did not watch a movie for this.
Although it should have been a movie.
Fire Ass Titles for Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure 2.
Okay, yeah.
Which I didn't even think about while reading. I was just so engrossed in the literature.
Okay, you got any room, you go first.
Baby's First Snow Day.
The Nape of My Neck.
Damn it. All right. The Most Pleasurable Feeling.
Oh, that's a good one. Hardened Nipples.
Erected Nipples.
Not just mine.
But I pulled from the text. I pulled from the source material. I'll come up with another one. Hold on.
Oh, wait. With a Serious Tone.
Ooh. A Long Way From Home.
Ooh. The Bus Ride.
I was trying to think of, like, you know, his journey there. Let's see.
New York, New You.
Ooh. I feel like we've used that before. Maybe not.
Same. I feel like we used it before, too.
One Special Night.
With a Stroke of My Thumb.
Okay. That's good. I think that's good. I think that's it. I think we've played all the games. I think we've talked about this for way longer than I thought I was going to. Any other last thoughts about Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure 2?
No, I kinda liked it.
Would you would you recommend reading it? Or should you just start at chapter 10?
I think read chapter 2 because that's the funniest when she just fully shits on Gabby the whole chapter.
Chapter 2 is his perspective.
Yeah, I know, but it's fucking hilarious. That was my favorite one. I laughed the hardest at chapter 2. I made Rachel read chapter 2 like when I was reading it because that's the funniest to me. Maybe start at chapter 10, then skip the like 3 in between and go straight to 15 or 14.
Yeah, read 10 and then read the last 3 chapters.
No, I don't even think the last
3. Or the last 2 chapters.
Last 2. The last 2 is plenty.
You don't even have to read the last... Well, no, the last one does have some key points in it about his penis.
Yeah, start at Hardened Nipple. Hardened Nipples, chapter 14. So
14 and 15.
Then I'll give you more. Is this the one where she says, make love to me? No, no, yeah, start at 14. 2, 10, 14. That's all I have to say.
14 till the end, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's fair, because then you could do that in probably 15 minutes.
Yeah, and those are the good ones. That's the highlights.
I think it is worth reading. I'm glad that we did this. I wonder if Liam is listening, and I wonder if Liam read this. He told us he was going to read this. If anybody told me that they would read this and like didn't, like I wouldn't hold it against them. Like, this is asking
a
lot, I feel.
It's a lot to ask. I agree.
We are down to only 5 more Zack Attacks after this. We have Miracle Run, we have Clip Show and announcing the Zeffies, then we have a special episode, then we have the new show announcement and Zeffies Last Call, and then we have the Zeffies, and then we're done.
I'm excited.
Until he puts out more movies. So we are near the end of this Miracle Run of Zack Attack, proving that we are never going to be better than this.
We're never going to be better than this.
So for all things Zack Attack, you can go to cageclub.me or facebook.com/cageclub or at cageclubpod on Twitter. You can find all the episodes we've done. You can see all the other shows on our network. This December, when we launch a new show on December 1st and December 15th, you can find those shows there. They'll also be listed on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. So however you want to listen, you can listen to all of our shows at all of those places. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe too.
And we'll see you next time on Zack Attack.